Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another edition of Critical Issues, where we discuss the issues of today and how they affect our very lives. This is your co-host, Henry Hasib, and we have with us Dr. Jamal Rashid with us. And today, we're going to explore the subject of cultural manipulation influences us to be impatient, microwaved, and disorientated at the 5G speed, there. So we're going to explore this topic here. And we will see how we do. Okay, I see Dr. Rashid, you're in twice here. So at this time, I will turn it over to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Step out of the queue.
All right. Now, are you there? I hung one of them up. Did you hang one of them up? Okay, while we're waiting for Dr. Jamal to get back in. Dr. Jamal?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Okay, all right. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. As you're doing that, in the hail of Allah, what is that, Sharik, in that? Well, I said during the Ramadan after Rasulullah. brothers and sisters in the American Muslim 360 Block Radio listening audience. We greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. You know, the Quran states that Allah creates the human impatient. That is a clear admonition. Quran is that the human is created impatient. So what does that tell us? It tells, in common sense education, that we have a urge, a natural confrontation with patience. That is a serious dilemma. It's when we are earmarked with the confrontation of patience, is that we are created impatiently. That in itself is a serious test, without any doubt. That is a serious test. Through our very nature, we are created impatiently. And therefore, we have a serious fight, a fight on our hands. That we are confronted with, and that comes through the awareness of patience. That is no accident or a surprise. It's when we are confronted with patience. I'm in a hurry. I'm going to do what makes me happy. We all are aware of certain instances where we are upfront confronted with patience. And many of us fail in the area of being patient. When patience is a mandatory obligation. So this is no light matter. When we are upfront confronted with patience, and nevertheless, we are admonished that we are created impatiently. This is a serious matter, brothers and sisters. When we are straight up, in a fast-forward sense, told that we got a problem with patience. I want to do what makes me happy right now. That is a fight that many of us are straightforwardly confronted with on a daily basis. There's no secrecy. No hidden agenda about this dilemma. just a straightforward common sense that we are confronted with, and it comes in the area of patience. So therefore, it is merely telling us from the common sense intelligence that we are straightforwardly confronted with patience. And nevertheless, we have urges, impulses, abnormity where patience is required in order to be victorious. Patience is mandatory, a mandatory requirement. There's no hidden agenda with this area of being tested. Again, there's no hidden agenda about the seriousness of this straightforward confrontation. There's no hidden agenda about this objectivity as part of its awareness. Its objectivity that this is real. This area of confrontation is too real to ignore. There's no hidden agenda pertaining to its actuality. The objectivity of such premeditated warning straightforwardly not hit, but it is straightforwardly, straight ahead of us. So, that's one area of major concern, that we have a straightforward objectivity that we are consciously confronted with, and that is in the area of patience. There's no hidden agenda. And so this shouldn't be a surprise, brothers and sisters, as far as its objectivity pertaining to its awareness, its objectivity of its apparent agenda. This should not be a surprise. But nevertheless, many of us are caught off guard in sorts as far as its awareness. But nevertheless, many of us are caught off guard, for as its
parent agenda. So, the beauty, or one of the beauty, if you will, of direct admonition is that this agenda is not hidden, but it is clearly apparent as far as its objectivity. Of its awareness. But nevertheless, many of us are actually in many regards caught off guard, as though we are caught by a total surprise. And so, this is something that we should not catch us by surprise. As far as its apparent agenda. As far as its stabilization. And we know a man Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay. In many regards, straightforwardly, directly, brings it to our complete attention as far as its apparent So that's the beauty, one of the beauties of Islam, is that there's no surprise as far as
you there, Dr. Rush? Looks like something maybe.
Yes, sir. I'm constantly, you know, when I pause, but Henry, I've been thinking without hesitation
on what you were saying, and I was thinking about the surah Wal Asr in the Quran there. And, you know, we often recite it are there as by the token of time. There in with this patient that we're talking about here, how Allah addressed us with that. And I just like to read it, the English of it. There, it's one of my favorite surahs there. It says, by the declining day, translation, lo, man is in a state of loss. This, again, when we talk about the declining day, as time goes, as the day declines, but man, it says, is in a state of loss, except those who believe and do good works, exalt one another to truth, and exalt one another to endurance. And some interpretation says patience, to have a patient, a consistency in patience. And when we look at this patience that we're talking about, we see that that is a big problem here in society today, especially among our young people. Look like the younger the people are today, the younger our children are, the more impatient. They have no patience with anything. And as you say, they want a microwave or something instant. And they have no a tolerance for anything that take a little time. And you can see them in grocery stores, department stores, how impatient they get, even with the checker that's checking them out. Just no patience. And others with the Torah, awesome, is that man is certainly in a state of loss. It's loss. Except those who have that patience and being constant and have some consistency with the patience. Because some people think patience, and this is usually referred to the older generation, and I hear them say this a lot in conversation, I'm just going to sit back and wait on the Lord. And they think that's having patience. But that is not the patience that Allah is talking about when he asked us to have patience. And because we don't understand that patience, and we think we got to just sit back, which is a mistake, because this surah here is saying that we should have consistency, that we should be working for the good, but we shouldn't let it take us out emotionally as it's doing a lot of people in the society. And we shouldn't sit back and do nothing else, or that God is going to come and take care of the problem for what he has empowered us to do. So I just wanted to add that to this this very interesting topic of patience, where we are saying that the society has become so impatient that because they want everything instantly, as you say, a 5G speed, they want everything at 5G speed, it becomes slower than that, then they kind of go crazy on you today. But I wanted to just add that to this conversation. As-salamu alaykum. I turn it back over to you, Dr. Rashid.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So they are prerequisites that go along with the guideposts that certain requirements are mandatory. And that, you know, is definitely clearly understood without any doubt as far as the warnings that are intended to to give us a assistance, a helping hand, so to speak, where it's a comforting assistance. A helping hand. And so, Allah, you know, premeditates, if you will, a lot of pre-warning that goes along with what is considered pre-directives to help us along. And many resort to actually assist as helpers.
If you'd like, we can take a break right here, a pause for a PSA, and then we can continue this on patience and how the society we need patience. There, we'll be right back after this brief PSA.
Excellent.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference at American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Okay, we're back where we're talking about the subject of cultural manipulation, how it influences us to be impatient. And we got subtopic microwaved and disorientated at 5G speed. And most of you know about how these speeds have went. We started with a 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and now we had 5G speed here that's making us an instant society, but it's also giving people the attitude of being impatient. They have no time. If you can't get it right away, you know, you got a problem. It's an argument. Just everybody is impatient with each other. Nobody have patience. Nobody have the consistency that Allah has said that would cause us to be lost. If we don't have patience, if we don't have consistency, the Quran says in Surah Asa that surely man will be lost. Well, we do invite our guests at this time, if you have a question or comment on the subject of cultural manipulation influences us to be impatient, do press 1 on your phone and we'll bring you into the queue. And right now, Dr. Rashid, we'll turn it back over to you. Assalamu alaikum. Dr. Rashid?
Okay, yes, I was on cue. On mute, rather. One of the most serious confrontations is we are confronted with devices that are intentionally designed to create the adverse effects to what we consider the norm or what we consider normalcy. That in itself is a self-made enemy, or what we may consider a man-made enemy.
And we do have a caller in queue, Dr. Rashid, when you get ready. Here we do have a caller in queue.
All right, well, let's get ready for the caller and see what's
okay.
On their mind.
Okay. As-salamu alaykum, Eric Toad, 636-980. Welcome to the program. Stay tuned. Where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Kareem Hamid calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you and everyone under the sound of our voice. A very important subject matter here, that instant gratification. Allah have identified us that we are, that man is the most hasty creature. Man is the most hasty creature. But Allah gives the antidote for that. Allah tells us to think. Thinking benefits the thinker. Think. And the thinking on God is the best remembrance and the best thinking. We have been given the properties of thought and reasoning. When we are very hasty, then we react in a lot of cases without thinking. And that is how the enemy of mankind can thwart and hinder human beings by giving them something or stimulating them to react immediately without thought, So Almighty God is saying to us, before you react, think. Give it some thought. Call your reasoning into play. Don't just react. Don't look for short-term goals. Someone can introduce something to you and it sounds good on the surface, and you immediately react without giving it thought. But Almighty God is saying to us, we should think. We should pause and think to what is being offered to us, or even the plans that we make for ourselves. Give it serious thought. We will plan, and we will have goals, because Allah says to us that we should strive, put forth some effort. Strive is in a race toward all that is good, and your striving shall materialize. Now, there isn't a time limit on that materialization. You have to have patience, and with patience, it gives you time to think, to truly think. Think on, don't just react to every stimuli that you may even stimulate yourself, or someone else can stimulate you to get a certain reaction, from you. But but Almighty God is telling the human being that the greatest tool that he gave us was our akal, our brain, the ability to think and to reason, so that we are not just reactionary, just react to whatever stimuli that we are titillated with, or even our own thinking. We should stop and think, give it thought, and also being aware of time, when Allah says strive, that means put forth effort. He says strive is in a race toward all that is good, and your striving shall materialize. Now that is not a quickie. You know, that's not a quickie. It takes thought, thinking, and action, and careful planning, in order to bring your thoughts into a material reality. And then especially if those thoughts come from outside of you, someone else may introduce something to you, and you immediately react. That hastiness, is where we find ourselves getting in a lot of trouble, just being reactionary and not stopping to think, wanting a quickie right away. So I'll just stop right there. But Almighty God is stating what can happen to us if we're too hasty, and he is encouraging us to think, for thinking benefits the thinker. And the greatest thinking is thinking on Almighty God. Thank you, my brother.
Right.
Excellent, excellent topic.
And you
topic.
Know,
thank you.
Imam Kareem.
Yes, thank you.
There's a surah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a surah in the Quran that speaking is it says over and over, just lead me right now, the surah that it is, but it's like that surah because Allah addressed the thinking man in the thinking woman. And the thing about it, what's so interesting is that it repeats itself over and over. The thinking man, the thinking woman, the thinking man, the thinking woman, the thinking man, the thinking woman, over and over again. So Allah is giving us and showing us the benefit of being patient and striving and struggling. And I think that's one of the other things that in the society there, and even among Muslims here, when Allah has said that the people will win through, it must win through, but if he did not say he would not have a trial and would not be tried, because again, the Quran addressed, who are those who say that they believe and not be tested? So, you know, as soon as you say, I believe, you're going to be tested. And I tell people, be careful what you ask for, because you probably will get it there, but you will not get it if you don't strive for it or struggle for it. So that's a part of it, too, in understanding this whole concept of what patience is, because as I said before, there are some people who will say, look, I'm just going to sit back and wait on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. And I hear that now more and more often out here. I'm just waiting on the Lord. And I'll be wondering, are they just waiting to die? Or, I mean, what are they just waiting on God for when God has given them the ability to do for themselves? So we have to be careful there. But we appreciate that comment. And you're so right. All right, Dr. Rashid. Let's see. I think we might have lost Dr. Rashid. There. Okay, but as you were saying on on patience, because it is a very important subject that that we're talking about here on patience. But all right, Dr. Wade, you hear? We do have a caller in the queue. You ready? We'll bring them in. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. We have 727-916. Welcome to the program. State your name. Where are you calling from?
Martha Nyder, I'm calling from St. Petersburg, Florida, Clearwater, Florida. And thank you so very, very much. I'm loving what I'm hearing, and it does make me think. You know, and the beauty of reading Revelation, reading the Word of God, as I'll put it, because I'm not just saying Quran, but the clear evidence and all of that comes when Allah SWT guides those who are reading Revelation. And so after we've made it, Imam Henry and Dr. Rashid, and to all the listeners, God's peace be upon you, after we have heard something, like I'm going back to my younger years and being, you know, given the routine of the moral character that we have to develop, and then involved with the religious life, whatever that, you know, that was, I was Baptist as it was deemed, but the establishing process, well, all I saw in my mind was getting older, and of course it was put in before getting married, and you know, and doing those different things. So wanting to become, somebody say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And so everyday process is, you know, you're not realizing that you're contributing that growing up, whatever you deem that you want to be when you grow up, and when would that grow up be? So, it, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, you're not the doctor yet. You want to grow to become a doctor, or you want to develop. So what does that entail? Just like Imam Kareem was saying, it doesn't happen right away or so immediately, but you know you have to be developed. You have to eat the particular word or study the particular word, and become that which the word says that you are. So I'll stop right there. It is wonderful to know that everything is not immediate, but you do plan and establish it. So alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. That is a very important, especially for young people too. But I'm finding out that a lot of people that should be there went through that stage, they still have them more to the stage that they should be, even though they have age that on them. You know, people say, "Well, I'm 60 years old," but then when you hear that conversation, you look at their dress, they dress like they what I call a teenager. You know, their pants are pulled down and everything. I said, "This doesn't make sense." Somewhere along the line, something got a hold to them and they have not developed the way the human being supposed to develop or matured to that point. So I find that's what's causing a lot of impatience, because the mind is basically not the mind of a person who have been through these things and experienced it, the things that bring you into patience. But those are very common that you make, and we appreciate it. All right, Dr. Rashid, we'll turn it back over to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, you know, we constantly are getting prerequisites that there are more benefits to the listener than there are anything else, that the benefits outweigh the deficits.
Background noise, Dr. Rashid, on your phone.
So we constantly get that warning that the benefits outweigh the the deficits.
We're getting a little, Kate, you're not coming through too clearly, but I guess it's time for another PSA here, so we need to probably take a break at this time. We'll be right back after this brief PSA.
So I was telling my brothers if they ever had daughters to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things and take them on little, have little journeys and take them out to eat and treat them like a young lady and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them and hold the door and everything. So that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband, and they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated, so they won't expect or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older, and if I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
Okay, we're back. Solutions to critical issues. We're talking about and how this culture manipulates the influence and us to be here. So it's been a very interesting subject. And I was just looking through the Quran on a patience. And I'd just like to read to you out of Surah 2. Ayat 45, where Allah addressed us in Surah Al-Baqarah, and it says, "Nay, seek with patience, perseverance in prayer. It indeed is hard, except for those who bring a lowly spirit." And you know, when we think about that, and we see these things in society, because we're talking about how the culture is manipulating us to be impatient. And we know if we are impatient, then that goes against the patience that Allah had wants for us as human beings. And when I see things that go against what Allah wants for us, what our Creator wants for us, then I attribute those things as the works tools of the Satan. And a lot of us, even though we confess and we say we are religious, but when we look at our actions, especially on being impatient, those are being influenced in us by the Shaitan, even though we say we may be Muslims or Christians or whatever faith that we are professing. Our deeds and our action is not attributing to what we say we believe, because God taught us to be patient in all in our actions and all. So we have to be very, very careful when it comes to those type of things there in our lives. And Allah addressed patience and constancy in a number of areas in the Quran. And it's because he knows that man, through the influences of the Satan, is going to be very impatient because of those influences. And today, I believe we're living in that time, as Dr. Rashid said, that so influenced and manipulated today that nobody has patience with each other. You know, parents don't have patience with the children, and sad to say, children don't have patience with. And then when we look at the society in the whole, you go out in the society, and nobody has the patience, and you wonder how these forces get into the society. It's because we have allowed these influences of the Satan or the devil to influence the human being to the point that we don't have any patience. We don't work with each other. We don't have the constancy to be, you know, now people, as they say, they call it a short fuse, that we got a short fuse, and that short fuse makes us very, very impatient, that we don't have time for that. Before a person, you ask them a question before they can give you the answer, now we cursing them out or saying things to them. And Allah tells us that we should think before we speak. So we don't give a person the time to even think before they answer the question, before we are blessing them out for the question that they haven't even answered yet. So I see all of these things. I'm sure many of you see these things out there too. But if you do have a question or comment, I do press 1 on your phone. And Dr. Rashid, we'll turn it back over to you. Dr. Rashid?
Yes.
Looks like I think we got a bad connection getting some interference in your phone there. You may have to hang up and call back again. We got about 9 minutes left in the program. So if you do have a question or comment on the subject of cultural manipulation influences us to be impatient, microwave, and disorientated at 5G speeds. So do press 1 on your phone, and we'd like to hear from you there on this very important subject of patience in there. So if you do have a question or comment, do press 1 on your phone. Because a patient, it is a very, very important subject that that we are addressing here, because it you can see it, the influences all through society at the lowest level and at the highest level. There's no patience. And patience and consistency and perseverance, Allah say these are the things that he said that the human being has to do in order to achieve a goal. If you got a goal, then you're not gonna be consistent. You're not gonna persevere in it. You're not gonna have any patience. Then chances are it's not gonna happen for you. And if it don't happen, it's not that God is punishing you, because people put so much on God nowadays. You know, I heard ex-preacher tell me once that he thought God was punishing him. And matter of fact, he was mad with God, he told me. And I said, well, why would you be mad with God? I didn't understand that. And he had rules, I guess, that he thought God should follow. And his rule was, if I'm working in your cause, then you should protect me from all of the vices that the human beings got to go through, or the trials and the tribulation that you got to go through. And if he understood, and even if he had read the Quran, it would tell him that trials and tribulation, that's going to be necessary to establish the truth. But one of the things that had happened to him that he was mad with God about, he said he was working every day for God. And I mean, he had devoted his whole life to working God. And then his son was on a street corner, and a gang member came by, and they shot his son, who he say was innocent, an innocent bystander, according to him. They killed his son, and he blamed God because they killed his son. Now, I say that that's a trial. Now, that's a horrible thing, but I wouldn't blame God for some other human being coming along killing my son because I am trying to do the work to establish the truth, to establish God's way. we know in establishing God's way, even during all of the prophets, even during the time of Muhammad the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, during these times, we know that people lost their lives. And we as Muslims, we believe if you die in the cause of God, then you're going to get instant paradise. But all of us, in one way or another, has to leave this present life that we are in. As they say, as sure as you're born, you will die. But some of us, because we don't die or live the life taken out, as some say, too soon or too early, then we want to blame God for that. And that's just the process of life. There's some that God permits to come in early age and some in old age. And the Quran addressed these things. But today we have no patience with any of it there, that we want to put our faults on somebody else. And instead of addressing these faults in ourselves first, and then move outward. We want to move outward and then never get a chance to look inward. And there's a saying that I've learned to say that if the devil, if you can control the devil or the enemy that's within you, then you don't have to even worry about the enemy without you because they can't control you. It's that enemy within us that we don't want to take control over that is causing all the havoc, because that's when we begin to blame others for our fault. You know, nobody want to take responsibility today. That's another word that comes along with being impatient, is responsible. It's always someone else's fault. It's never my own. What did I do to contribute to this? How can I be a better person? But as always, we can see the fault that's in others, without looking at the fault that may be within ourselves. And all of this brings about patience that we see in the society there. All for me and nothing for you. All for me and nothing for you. Those type of attitudes that we see. It's okay for me to break the law, but if you break the law should come down on you 100% with no mercy, no anything. You should get the death penalty. But if I do the same thing, then I should be above that. It shouldn't apply to me like that because of whatever reasoning that we come up with in our own mind to do that. And we see it happening out here in the society. One person do the same crime, and they almost looked at as a hero. The next person do the crime, then they give them the death penalty. And we have seen it through our years, and it has shaped and kind of fashioned us to maybe that's why we don't have the patience that we need to have to succeed today, because we have seen these things in the past and in the present, and they don't seem to be getting better in our eyes. But Allah says, be patient and persevere. Be patient and persevere. And then a time. And as I say to people, to get in tune with time, because if you get ahead of time, time is going to run over you. And if you get behind time, then it will leave you behind. But you got to be on time. And if you get in tune with the time, you know, that's what I like about our prayer here, is the prayer is giving us time. We are working, but we've had an interesting subject today. I think we lost Dr. Rashid on there. So we're going to get ready for our next program, which is Brother Adam Bia, and his title today will be Graceline Community Inc. to discuss the upcoming wealth creation. The wealth creation. So look like they may be working on a workshop, it looks like. But anyway, we'll see you next week at the same time, same place for another edition of Solution to Critical Issues. Assalamu alaikum and have a great day.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in LSLaw. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Adam Diyah here on Money Sense on AM 360 on this Thursday morning. December 1st, first day of December. This year is coming to a close pretty soon. Be a time for a new year, inshallah. But I do want to welcome all of you to our program. And I was missing in action last week, but we were on vacation again, trying to get the vacations out of the way before tax season hits. And I'm trying to make it through the program today. I guess I developed a slight cold, so it takes a little while for my voice to get back to normal. So just bear with us, and inshallah. Let me begin by reading something from the Quran, and then we'll get into the topic of our program today, inshallah. And we're reading from Surah Ar-Ra'd. Surah Ar-Ra'd, the 31st ayah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولو أنا قرانا سوء ركبه الجبال أو كتئت به الأرض أو كلم به الموتى بل لله الأمر جميعا أَفَلَمْ يَيْأَسِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَلَّوْ يَشَاءُ لَهُ لَهَدَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَلَا يَزَالُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا تُصِيبُهُمْ بِمَا صَنَعُوا قرية أو تهول Karibam minadarihim atayakatiya wakdula in Allah la yakalifur biad. Sadakallahu adim. In the translation, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful, the benefactor, the merciful, the redeemer. If there were a Quran with which mountains were moved, or the earth cloven asunder, or the dead were made to speak, this would be the one. But truly, the command is with Allah in all things. Do not the believers know that had Allah so willed, he could have guided all mankind to the right. But the unbelievers never will disaster cease to seize them for their ill deeds or to settle close to their homes until the promise of Allah come to pass. For verily, Allah will not fail in his promise. Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. So as Henry mentioned, Brother Henry, that we're going to discuss today the upcoming Wealth Creation 091 workshops that's going to be conducted by members of the board of the Graceline Community Incorporated. For those of you that might not know about Graceline Community, it is a nonprofit corporation started by a group of Muslims whose interest is eventually to establish a credit union. Eventually, we are in the process of getting all the paperwork in place for that to happen. But as a nonprofit organization, we want to offer ways to stress wealth creation, money management among the general population, Muslims and non-Muslims. You know, I remember reading a book by Robert Kiyosaki. One of the statements he made is that average American lacks an adequate financial education. And that shouldn't be hard to understand. Where are they going to get their financial education from? Maybe college. But I'm going to share with you, maybe during the course of an hour, that college doesn't really teach financial education. And I think I can convince you very, very easily to that effect. So we want to be able to do those things. And I want to bring on one of our members of our board who's been working diligently over the last couple of years to bring this about, and who's really spearheaded the '091 workshops. And I'm going to bring on Sister Amira Wazir. Assalamu alaikum, my sister.
Walaikum assalam. How are you all?
Good. Thank you for tuning in and joining in with us on this discussion.
Alhamdulillah.
Well, you're the first one to introduce the language 091 workshop. 091, Wealth Creation 091. What was your thinking behind that?
Well, I am a product of community college. And in the community college, it acknowledged that everyone that came out of high school didn't come out and that they were ground level, you know, ready to hit the road. You know, they needed some remedial. They needed to be brought up, you know, to a particular area where they could begin, you know, traditional college classes. So that thought hit me when it came to the study of money. Like any course that we had in school and we didn't do well, or it wasn't even offered in our schools, you know, we need a remedial program in the African American community. And it's not to say that we don't have money in our community. We have more than any ethnic group. We spend more than any ethnic group. And we have many, many, many successful African Americans. But as a whole, we have been left up out of the study of money. And many people have, regardless of color. But the study of money is important. And so I wanted to begin at the beginning. Let's actually begin before the beginning. Let's begin with the remedial portion of it. Investing is a language many of us don't speak, black, white, or green, you know. So and how to maximize and our money, how to make our money grow, that isn't something that we have been taught.
I agree with you 100%. Being an accountant and doing taxes for people, I get called and asked questions often about investing, financial management, or I get people to call me after the fact, after they made a financial move, then they call me and ask me, should they have done it? Well, it's kind of like too late now, right?
Yeah, the horse has left the barn.
Right. And then they attribute their decision to certain people. And I'm sure that some of you have them in your life when they say, well, somebody told me. Now,
mm-hmm.
Probably not the same somebody that you say. You know, those in audience, you know somebody because they always popping up giving you advice. Or my friend told me. Or they told me, right? And it's funny how they always listen to somebody or my friend or they, and then wondering why they get in the situation they're in.
Yeah.
And then they call somebody they might know last, right? And I don't understand that. But anyway, but yeah, it happens a lot.
Yeah,
so when you talk about money issues.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir. Yeah. Great to finish up.
We tend to do things backwards. And it's just because we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the purpose of this class. Let's just start, you know, let's talk mm-hmm. about knowing. And then the other thing is when we do get advice from, you know, all kinds of sources, from the grocery store to the barber shop, and, you know, you're sitting at the auto dealer or wherever. You know, we have all this stuff circulating around in our head, and then we make a decision based on, you know, what we heard. And like you say, it doesn't turn out well. But it's because we have a void. The universe hates a void. So, you know, if you have not, then when you're listening to this advice that you get from wherever, then you can have some place to hang that knowledge. You can hang it over here on this, you know, on this, you know, hook, and it says, you know, no, I've studied that, and that's what they're saying is not true. Or I can hang, this is something I don't know. This is for me to investigate, because we don't think to investigate. We don't know where to go to investigate. How do I figure out what they're telling me? Is it true, or is it the best thing for me, you know? So if you get an education, then you can understand the language of money. You can understand when concepts are good, or you can understand the history of money. Money cycles repeat themselves. We are beginning to repeat the cycle of 2007, 2008, when Barack Obama came into office. The world was in free fall. They're getting ready to reproduce that. We see the housing market repeated that. The major part of that 2007-8 free fall was, you know, the housing market began to collapse, and investments that were had absolutely no tangible value began to collapse. So what are we looking at? Cryptocurrency? What are we looking at? The housing market? So what do we see? We see the cycle all over again.
Now, one thing that might not be as pronounced with the housing market, back in the 2007-8, where it started a few years before that, where the houses were becoming inflated, prices were going becoming inflated. And the problem was that the lending institutions did not have any discipline in terms of who they were going to let buy these houses, right? And they had a new vehicle. You can get a house for a price you can afford, but in 5 years or 10 years, you would have a balloon payment. So what does that mean? Well, you buy the house, and you pay interest only, almost interest only. You're not paying off the principal. And then when that mortgage expires, you need a balloon payment, you had to refinance, right? And because most people bought the house and they were paying interest only, they weren't paying the full amount. When they had to refinance, they didn't have the financial capability to pay for that house. So the house went in foreclosure. Well, you don't have those issues developing now with people getting mortgages that they can't afford. They solved that problem. So it might not be as bad now because most people can't get houses. They want to. It's not as easy as it used to be. So those are types of things that can keep it from being as bad as it was in the early 2000s. I don't think they have as many toxic loans to go bad that they did back then because the government put some constraints on the mortgage company, which they didn't have back in early 2000, first decade of 2000. So anyway, but still you got
it.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you finish.
No, I was finished. Great.
Okay, the thing, even though you don't have that particular variable, you have other variables. During these last few years, during the COVID and people were buying houses right and left, they had the element of FOMO, fear of missing out. There was such a demand for housing that housing was selling. People were taking savings. They were borrowing money. They asked their families to help them to come up with cash. They were getting into deals with mortgage lenders. Said, we'll provide the cash. We'll buy the house for you, and you pay it back for us. There were so many ways people were getting extra money to so that they could afford this house because they were being outbid. The house was worth $200,000. So the people put it on the market for $200,000, but the bidding went up to $300,000. People were coming up with money to try to win that house. You got a $200,000 house. You pay $300,000 for it. So you don't. Where did that $100,000 came from? Now, if you were fortunate, it came out your bank account. You know, and all you had to do is just take the money out. It didn't cost you anything. You didn't take it out your 401k. You didn't borrow it from your parents. Whatever. You just came up with this $100,000 free and clear. So now you got a $200,000 mortgage. But people borrowed money, and they took money from sources that they shouldn't have taken money from, and now they've paid $300,000 for this $200,000 house, you know, and then the value of the house begins to drop. Right now, houses aren't selling like they used to. The value of property, when you read all of the magazines and listen to the pundits, the shows, they're pushing. Property values are dropping. Property values are dropping. What I found out in the world of money, the voice is the first thing you hear. They are programming property values to drop. So whatever is going to happen, they're going to start talking about it. They're going to start writing about it, and they're going to make it happen. So people now have houses that are nowhere near worth what they paid for them. So they're stuck with this. All these years of interest, all these years of lost opportunity with the money that they paid for that house over the value of the house. If you had taken $100,000 and left it in your 401k or invested it in something where it was going to grow, now it's sitting up in the house is losing value. So there are different types of variables other than, you know, the ones that were present. But the fact of the matter is that the same scenario is happening. You know, the housing market is getting ready to adjust itself. They say market correction, and many of us are going to be on this on the downside of that, you know. And we just couldn't afford to take that hit where we came up with $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 cash, or we made some arrangement with some realtor agent. That's the biggest thing now. Buy your house for cash. Buy your house for cash. You know, and when you buy your house for cash, you allow them to give you that cash to buy the house. It's like making a deal with the devil. The devil is, what they say, the details is in the devil is in the details. That's absolutely so with these new schemes they have, where you can buy your house for cash, you get the money from the real estate agent or the real estate agency. So, like I say, they're repeating it, and if we have a good understanding of money cycles, the cyclical cycle of money, if you want to put it that way, it'll help us understand, oh, they're getting ready to pull that game again. Just like football, don't they have these different plays? We're going to play, I don't know what y'all call it, we're going to play number one, two, three, or X, Y, Z. But they got plays. We do this in this situation. We do this in this situation. The world of money, they got plays. Every few years, they replay something.
Yeah, but the key is don't fall for the plays, as you're saying. Don't fall for the plays.
Don't play.
If you can't afford the house, don't get it.
About the play. So you don't fall for it. But if you don't know the plays, you fall for it, right?
Well, again, there's some fail safes against it. And
yeah.
The basic rule is don't buy something you can't afford. That's the basic rule. I mean, that works wherever you go. That works if you go to the department store and buy some clothes. You know, it all works in that way. So that kind of discipline has to be inculcated in your life, in your spirit. And if you do that, you won't fall for it. And that has to be taught. And that for us as Muslims, we should be there already. We should be there already. Right?
Then that's one of the things we're going to cover in the 091, that monetizing your attitude is how you think. You know, we don't fall for our ego, you know, dictate. We don't get the fear of missing out where everybody's, you know, doing this. I need to do it too. You know, so you got to get your attitude. You got to get your mind right in order for you not to fall for the prey. I know I shouldn't be buying stuff I can't afford, but I got all caught up in the fever. People got caught up in that housing fever and did things. They you know, common sense would have told you you don't spend more than the house appraised for.
Right. Right. And it depends on the market to you, the market you live in. And I know that in Atlanta, the market tends to do that because of demand and things of that nature. Whereas it might not be the same types of things in another part of the country. So we're housing on increasing to such a rate.
Yeah, I agree.
So
where the demand, you don't have that, you know, fever, you know, to buy because you don't have a line. There's a line of people trying to buy that one house. But in Atlanta, you know, during the COVID, where everybody was buying houses, there were more buyers than there were housing. So a lot of people got caught up in that, and the demand is still high because people are moving to Atlanta. Atlanta has, you know, is a positive economy, so they are moving to Atlanta so that the demand for housing continues. But everywhere I go. You know, I see all these new apartment buildings being built. They look like railroad car stacked on top of each other. They put on a little balcony and landscape on the side. And that apartment's $250,000, $300,000, you know, if you want to buy it. Or, you know, it's $2,000 and up to rent. Well, you know, sometimes a studio, one bedroom, you're looking at almost $2,000. You know, people are becoming homeless because they can't afford the rent. The demand is high. So
when
demand is high,
that's true.
You know, you have to be creative. What do I do? Maybe we can start living with, I can have a roommate. you know, maybe me and a family member can do something together. But then that's a whole nother jar of worms.
You know? That sounds like New York when I first moved there.
Yeah, where people, you have someone who works nights and then someone who works days. So they share one bedroom. You had a bedroom when I'm at work, I had a bedroom when you were at work. So
thank God I don't have to go through that. We're going to play this PSA, then we do have a caller that wants to chime in. So we'll be right back after this message.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Afar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah alay, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, this is Adam B. out here on Money Sense on AM360, and we're just having a casual conversation with Sister Amira Wazir out of Atlanta, Georgia, one of the board members of Graceland Community Incorporated. Right, let's go to the phone lines, area code 251-404, 251-404.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Adam. This is Hasib in Mobile, Alabama. I think a very interesting subject that you got. And the real estate part of it, of course, you know, I'm a real estate broker, so I do know a little bit about the market there. And supply and demand is one of the things that drive prices. And this is right, not an indication that the housing market is kind of declining as far as the price, the value of it. But I think more important than that, and I think you used an example earlier about the game that's like a football game, for example, is that, you know, when you're playing football, you got offenses and defense. And I think the public a lot of time is really the defense because we have other people who are planning the offense. And the offense, the problem with that is that the defense don't know the plan of the offense, you know. They don't know whether they're going to throw the ball, run the ball, or whatever they're playing. They know what their plan is, but we don't know what their plan is. And therefore, we don't even plan for it. Now, that's the difference between the football, because they see how they line up and they try to come up with what they think the offense is going to do. But the masses of the public, all they do is be affected by whatever the offense is planning for them. Not only housing, but look at this holiday that's coming up called. Now that they're interviewing people, ask them, how much money are you going to spend this year on that? And they're coming up with some crazy figures in my mind from what I see. And then if you look at the people that they got with as much money as they tell me that they're going to spend on the holiday, how much if they were planning a good defense from the people who got an offensive plan for them, then they would probably do a lot better. But instead, we're falling victim to the offense's plan. So whatever, whichever way the, as they say, the tides roll, that we have to just roll with it there. And I think that's the biggest thing. We need to come up with a defense plan that will help us win against this offense that we're playing against. I just wanted to add that. I hope I didn't confuse anyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Henry. Appreciate that.
Yes, he gave himself an insight into the offense and the defense. I now have a language for it, right?
Well,
you know, Adam, comes about emotion. So, like I said, that's the first place we're going to start is when our money workshop is dealing with, you know, the way we think, our emotions, and controlling that. You know, so but we'll be previewing the money workshops at Time to Be Grateful. And so people can come and sit down and see what they're all about. But at first, you got to get that mind straight.
Yeah. And I mean, how can a person be duped about Christmas after growing up in America? You follow me?
Emotion.
Christmas ain't no secret. Yeah, exactly. Christmas is not a secret plan. I mean, you got to be asleep, which most of them are, I guess, unaware to know they trying to get your money. And they finding all kind of ways to get money out of your pocket. People call me, I get more spam calls. And some days I don't have time for it. I don't answer it. I mean, my office, I think about 70% of the calls I get in my office is spam. We have before now, we don't even answer the phone. But sometimes I just get fed up. I'm a mess with somebody. And I answer the phone and you know, I say, look, I'm not buying anything today. They say, sir, we're not trying to sell you anything. I say, well, then how do you get paid if you ain't selling nothing? that ain't part of the script, so they confuse. Oh, I say, look here, I'm in a war. I wake up every day, somebody trying to take money out of my pocket. I'm trying to keep money in my pocket, right? And I'm going to win today. You know, but you got to know they're trying to get you to spend something. I was on the website this morning, casual website, and here come a pop-up ad. It took me to another page. I didn't ask for that. I didn't click on anything, but that's automatic. That's the game. So once you know that, then you had to make a decision like I do. And I'm not going to spend a dime unless I initiate the transaction. But for Christmas, they're getting to the point. They're not even trying to disguise it. You know, we just came out of November, right? And I'm a Florida petition to move Black History Month from February to November. You say, why would you do that? Well, because we become predisposed of hearing the word black in November, right?
Oh,
so it would be natural to say November is Black History Month. They don't have to change any advertisement. They're already saying black.
And that's what a brilliant marketeer will do. They learn how to work with what's working.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But the classes. The classes. I mean, I think the workshops, we're hoping that people will find usefulness in the workshops. And these will be workshops become active, that they can sign up and they can attend the workshops. Is that right?
Yeah. You can register at our website and you can give them the web address. And for the classes, they begin in January, January 14th, start on a Saturday. So, and we have set aside an hour, hour and a half. And so the format of the class is that we'll have an expert speaker, and we will present our round tables, one of the format of our weekly meetings. And we, each one of us that comes to the weekly Graceland meeting has learned a lot from each other because we're all professionals. You're in accounting, I'm in insurance, and Edward is, his background is investing, and we have an architect, so we teach each other. There's a reading list that we'll suggest each week. This morning I got up and pulled out my books that I wanted to bring the time to be grateful so I can show the class the reading list for that particular session. And then we'll have handouts they can download off of our website that will go with each week. So we start, you know, the classes off with an orientation from Imam Fahim Shuaib, and it's titled Allah's Will in the Sunnah of Wealth Video. He does a weekly wealth preservation piece every Monday. And so which is fabulous because he delves into that mindset and how to make that money work, you know, how to control money through your mind. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but anybody who understands Imam Fahim Shuaib and how he teaches, then you can understand. The man brings light to the subject of money. So that's every Monday. We'll start with him, but we'll start our orientation off with one of his pieces he's given us permission to play that is just absolutely just earth-shattering in terms of getting that mind straight, you know, especially for the Muslim. So, and we go for after that, you know, we'll talk about, as I said, I keep repeating, monetize your attitude. Everything we've talked about this morning has been about our emotions, has been our understanding, our attitude toward money, wherever we got it from or didn't get it from. Then we have a week on education, becoming familiar with how to evaluate financial tools to get started and the best tools for people who are learning to invest. Week three is the psychology of risk. Week four, the basics of making money grow. All of us are used to working for money, but how do we make money work for us? That's something we were never taught. And so we have week number five, cover your assets. Week number six, wills and trust. You know, we make money all our life, and then we die in debt, or we die and leave somebody else to bill for the hole in the ground. So that's the beginning of it. And as I said, the highlight of each will be the ability to talk to people who understand money. So you can, you know, because we're confused. Well, my barber told me this. My hairdresser told me this. Well, let's talk with somebody who knows about money. So they all have that opportunity, and we'll introduce to people, speakers who know about money as well. So now you begin to broaden your horizons. You got a wealth of, and I use that word kind of pun, you'll have a wealth of resources and that you can call on, you know, when you have questions about money. Now, we're not trying to give investment advice, buy Texaco or sell, you know, microchip, but what we are trying to do is to share the wealth of information we have about money with the community. We have Study Islam, so now you'll have, on Saturday mornings, you'll have Study Money. You'll be able to study money. So you ought to be able to be successful.
Yes. And the website for those of you is GracelineCommunityInc.org. GracelineCommunityInc.org. I think I'm saying that right. Yeah. And if you go to it this morning, it's down. It's under construction, and it should be up and running in a day or two. So just write it down and keep it handy. It's GracelineCommunityInc.org. All right. We do have a caller that wants to chime in. Let's go to the phone lines now. Area code 727-916. 727-916. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Martha Nyla here. Martha Nyla Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg/Clearwater, Florida. And greetings of peace to the two of you and to all our listeners. Thank you. Alaikum assalam. My question is this. As I think on, and boy, all the mistakes, if I can recover from those, seeing the, okay, here, and I know you say that it's not about discussion on investment. But my question is in a general sense, that when we mention, and again, to my mindset, is when we mention about helping one another, and right away, the thought thinking would be, buy from me. You buy from me, and then that means that we're helping one another. So we buy from one another, and I'm seeing the vendors set up, you know, in one particular place, and we all go and shop, and then we all go home. And then we shop, and we all go home. Or we go online, and we buy, and it's the end of the day. So my thinking is, okay, so what's happening? It's like an unfulfilled process. We're buying and we're spending with one another, but there's a piece missing about seeing the recourse of it to say that, oh yes, we're really connecting with one another and we're really doing this with one another. Can you see what I mean? But a piece missing, the reinvesting back into the life of those who spend with you. And that's a whole process to explore. But I'm just seeing the part of spending with and then ending. So I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
So what I would think, the whole concept of money is as varied as, or it's like the sand on the beach. You can't count the number of subjects you could talk about money. So yes, that, you know, I buy from you, and then what do you do with the money? Does it help the community, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, that's one of the sayings on the beach. So if I buy from you, hopefully I'm not buying stuff just frivolous. And if I am, I can afford it. So, but I have an opportunity to shop with you if you have something I need. Or I may look at it as sadaqa. I got way more than I need. So then I use it for Eid. I keep it and put it in a box as an Eid gift. But the fact that coming back to reinvest into the community, that was one of the purposes of the Grace Fund when we want to start a community. I work on starting not a community but a credit union so that we would have a place to collect those funds that we, you know, make when we sell, funds that we get when we work, funds that we get when someone gives us a birthday present. It's a place to gather all that together, organize it, and leverage it so that it begins to benefit the community. Unless we harness our money, then it's going to continue to benefit other communities. So, but still, we have to go back to that start, our mindset, how we thinking about this money. We need to understand the value of having a credit union. So as who sit on the board of the credit union, the proposed credit union, as we sit here week to week, we're working, you know, in how to bring this about. We have federal guidelines we have to fulfill and et cetera. So what we realize is that the abilities and the knowledge that we have amongst ourselves, this little small group, this band of experts, is that we could begin helping the community in other ways too. We can begin to share our knowledge, just like we learned about bonds from Edward. We learned about taxes from Adam. We learned about insurance from Amira. We can share this with our community. So this is what we're trying to do. We're not just waiting until that credit union door is open. We're beginning to bring the value of our association to the community now. As I said, your preview, you know, what we're going to offer at Time to Be Grateful. I hope that those who are scheduled to attend will come to our workshop. We have workshop number 2. It starts at 11 a.m. You'll register on our website and for the classes, and then you'll be able to pick up, you know, some information. You'll see what we're talking about. You'll meet the experts, and you'll see the value of the roundtable. We won't just lecture. we have the ability for you to ask questions. We'll have a booth there at the Time to Be Grateful. We set up on Thursday and set Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Our booth will be open. You can come by and talk to us about things you learned in the workshop. Sign up for the January workshops. But we begin to take all these sands, you know, all these grains of sand is a better way to put that, and begin to construct it. But it has to start somewhere. So we're going to start with giving away our knowledge. You know, you got experts. You have to pay to talk to experts. You're going to talk to us for free. And we're not going to steer you like most people have a purpose when we get together, buy from me. Well, we're not selling anything. We're giving away something. And this is one of the few things that said this free thing ain't going to cost you nothing, which is rare. Adam has a question when he asks people, you know, I'm not buying nothing, you know, how you get paid, you know. So when people call me with the free stuff, I said, well, you know, how much is it going to cost me? What is that? How much that free thing going to cost me? And it stumps them because they know somewhere in that bottom line pitch, they're trying to sell me something. You know, but here, community, you know, the blessings of Allah are flowing, you know, from the knowledge of the people that you work with, see, and know every day, is that we are setting ourselves up, you know, to be of use and service. And so we invite you.
Yeah. I would answer like the captain answered it when I went to FOI class. And he said, your reward is with your Lord.
Yes. For us, that's true.
That is true, isn't it?
Yeah, my reward is out of this world.
Oh, bless us.
So I share what I have, and so do all the rest of us, you know. But until we come together to understand the why, going back to that mindset, why is it? We have been burned so many times. We've started so many businesses over the centuries. You know, and like Pavlov's dog, we've learned that it don't make no difference. They're going to tear us down anyway. Some of us made it through, and we're multi-billionaires. You know, but the majority of us, we are still stuck down here trying to, as the brother said, offense and defense. We don't know which side we on. You know, and so we want to start leveling the planes, the playing field. And so that's what this is. We want to level the playing field. We want to set, you know, the community up to understand the need for a credit union. We won't succeed if the community doesn't understand the need, if their mindset isn't healthy, you know, about a credit union. So until Allah blesses us and we're actually to come to fruition, we are doing a job that we were supposed to do. We're being the vicegerents we were supposed to be. We're taking this knowledge and we're sharing it. You know, so I urge you, if you don't have tickets to Time to Be Grateful, get some. You know, so, and they're being sold at, what is it, the Masjid, the Nation's Mosque website,
Nation,
right?
Nation's Mosque, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think so.
Because, yeah, just come and begin to we have to make a difference. We keep saying our children are our future. Nope, our children are our present. We may say, well, it's too late for me. I've already retired. I'm already stuck in the mire. You got children? You got grandchildren? You got people in children at the masjid. You can start teaching. But until you learn, you can't teach. You know, so you can stop being victim, you know, to a lot of the schemes. You know, the brothers say the offense. Stop playing victim. And so I don't care what age you are. There's something for you in this workshop. So if you're starting, you know, your career, you're fresh out of college, this workshop is for you. But if you're past 65 and now you realize that you messed up, this workshop's for you.
Right. We're going to play this last PSA before the top of the hour. We'll be right back after this message.
As-salamu alaykum. This is the Preacher Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we're back. This is Adam Bial on Money Sense on this Thursday morning. And we're having a conversation with Sister Amira Wazir. And Amira, I thought Brother Edward would call in. So since he didn't, I played the PSA. So we you can say he had a part in this show today. Makes sense.
Brother Edward is a jewel. He got the right voice for radio, boy. You know, so it sounds better. And Edward will right. have a part in our Time to Be Grateful workshop as well as the ongoing workshop, because he's the one with the investing, you know, that Wall Street investing background. And So through the miracle of technology, we'll be able to have his voice and his insight and his wealth of knowledge, you know, available in workshop on at Time to Be Grateful that Saturday morning at 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to make it because Brother Tyler kind of enticed me, but I couldn't make it. He said he's going to make some fish. You're going to cook some fish for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, he does.
And that's as you said earlier, that's the beauty of it, be able to, can you imagine 2 years of Zoom calling with individuals that I know I've never met it, and personally met everybody, but then again, based on the miracle of technology, I feel as though I'm real close to everybody, you know, and to be able to have conversation with people once a week and trying to plan this great task of establishing the credit union. And one thing about it, we're hoping that with the credit union, once it's established, and that people become investors and start their accounts, that they become, in a sense, part owners because of the things that credit unions can do that banks don't do. And we're also hoping that the money that, you know, that we accumulate from the investors, from the depositors, the investors, the members, would be able to, in turn, when members need resources, such as loans and things of that nature, it would be available to them. And that's one thing a lot of times the major banks don't do. It's hard, you know, it's easy to put your money in, it's hard to get money out, you know. And,
absolutely.
That's a problem. That's
qualify to
problem.
Deposit, but we don't qualify to benefit. You know, an EGRA program
that is set aside
for the American community, they divert them because they know we don't know about them. They divert them and give them to other minority communities, you know. So we do need to be in charge of the money, you know, that we ourselves have individually and collectively. You know, we look at every Sister Clara Muhammad School. Where's the money deposited from the bank accounts? We look at every masjid. Where's the money deposited? You know, we look at each and every person that's in the community. Where's the money deposited? Where's the money deposited for the Muslim Journal? Where's the money deposited for, like I say, all of these Islamic organizations we have? It's all deposited in the banks of the offense, and they use it against us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we need, you know, I tell you, I got so much time to work with it. And So we need a defense, and the credit union is our defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to be in charge, and that starts with that mindset. And everybody on your program already, you know, understands the value of listening to Muslims and talk about money and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, what they may not have had were the resources that, you know, to share with others or to even to build upon. So one thing for me to hear, now teach me how, you know. So I know I should do A, B, and C, but how do I do that? You know, so how do I invest in bonds? How do I open up a money market account? How do I do these things? So that's what, you know, we're talking about sharing. You know, it's the how of stuff, you know. We you know, wealth creation, I love that term from and wealth preservation. And then, you know, just the investing in ourselves and in our mindset, you know, that's important. Mm-hmm. That's where everything starts. So, you know, we want to build generational wealth, and so we're going to start at the beginning. We're going to start at the classes. Remedial classes. We ain't starting with, you know, Morningstar investment reports.
Right.
And then let me
say 091, as you say.
Yeah, there are those who are listening on the call, you know, others who are financially successful, you know. So, you know, we want to invite you to be a part of, you know, the conversation because you've learned things. You know, and so don't just like, you know, we're going to monopolize the conversation. That's what our roundtable is all about, bringing the voices, you know, the voices of success to the table so that we can share, you know, mutual participation, so to speak.
Well, we got one person that wants to chime in. We got a couple of minutes left, so hopefully they can do it within the time allotted. 636-90, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Kareem Hamid calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. This is a wonderful for educating us in the science of money. A lot says to us in the Quran that Satan creates false desires. He creates false desires within us. And what one example of that, there are trends that are introduced to us, and we want to get in on that trend. It's something that have been introduced to us without a full understanding. Case in point, that which is what has happened with cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. That was a trend, and a lot of people got in on that, but we see now that they have lost all of that investment. It's good to have someone that can warn us, about these false ideas and these false trends that are introduced to us. I'll stop right there. Thank you, Imam Adam Bayah and Sister Amira.
Assalamu alaikum. And right. Right quick on cryptocurrency. There's a general rule of wealth creation. General rule, buy low, sell high. You've heard that before, right, Sister Mira?
Oh, yeah.
Buy low, sell high. When the price of cryptocurrency was going up to $50,000 and $60,000, that was high. Everybody rushed in to buy grain. They bought high. And then the price went low, and they lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's one key. Remember that. When the price comes up to $60,000, $70,000 again, don't start buying then. You might buy it now in hopes it will go up, but don't start buying when the price is going up. And everybody that did that lost their money, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So look here, Sister Mary, has been great. Thank you very much for tuning in, and look forward to your presentation at the time to be grateful. I'm hoping everybody tunes in and catches it. But this has been Money Sense on AM360 on this Thursday morning. Next program is Imam Yusuf Ramadan. And his topic is Shaitan's respite is limited. Shaitan's respite is limited. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi everyone. Sister Mira will be on the call Sunday, inshallah.
Inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain of Nation is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Sugar Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is, peace be unto you with God's name, the merciful benefactor, and merciful redeemer. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day Father Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and I'll be your host. This is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So today we're talking about Allah, the respite that Allah has given to Shaitan is not for all time, it's for a limited amount of time. That means that respite is going to be up. It's going to be up. It's not going to continue. So, when people look at the state of the world, and we grateful to Allah for inspiring us with that theme for our program, that aim, that goal for our show, to discuss current events, trending topics, and issues of concern. Sometimes people don't see the connection. We have a Salat class that we do every Sunday morning. Allah has blessed us to do it ever since last Ramadan. We haven't missed a Sunday, alhamdulillah. And part of the problem, well, one of the problems is that a lot of the people, it's really done for our masjid, but we invite other people to come in sometimes, people that express an interest to be part of the class. A lot of the members of the masjid who we feel, and everybody can improve themselves, there's always room for improvement, we say, right? They're not participating. And so a couple of the brothers who were running it, they said, Brother Imam, it's discouraging. These guys, some of the people that were coming on, they were giving them deadlines. They were giving them deadlines that you have to know this surah or this ayat, you know, within 2 weeks. So I really just try to monitor the class, although they will ask me, you know, certain questions that they feel I might have some insight into, and I try to assist to that regard. But they started, some of the people saying, well, you know, Brother Imam, a lot of them are not familiar with the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and would you help to familiarize those who are not with his language? So I've been doing that for a couple of weeks. But, you know, one of the brothers expressed to me, well, we got off of, well, two of them expressed it to me, we got off of our original stated goal. And I said, no, we really have not, because we have the technical aspects of making the prayer. We have the recitation of the Quran, the tajweed, the proper recitation, you know, and the proper grammar, et cetera. But beyond the physical, beyond the physical movement, we recommended the book that our beloved brother, Imam Vernon Fareed, Rahim Allah, who passed away just before his book came out, or as the book was coming out, which is Uniformity in Prayer, Uniformity in Prayer, Book 2 of the Mighty Five, Revised and Enhanced Edition. And he builds it as the last book endorsed by Imam W.D. Muhammad, you know, and it's by Imam Vernon M. Fareed, my good friend. Beautiful book, color, in color, illustrated by him, with the brothers and another sister and a sister, illustrating the movements of the sisters, et cetera. You know, pictures of the Imam leading us in prayer, et cetera. A wonderful book. And then, you know, some people tried to introduce other books, you know, by other persuasions. One book the brother wanted to introduce was those from the Salafia, you know, and he said he wanted to know. He gave me a book and asked me if he could introduce it. I told him I couldn't approve of that, you know. I couldn't approve of that particular book. But anyway, the point I was making, that a couple of people were saying we've gotten away from our goal, but we hadn't gotten away from our goal, because in order to understand what we're doing, we need to be able to, as the Imam said, make sacred life connections. If it's not connected to anything, if it's just disconnected, you know, we have to be able to make a connection between and among those five pillars. And the Imam explained to us that a pillar is something that holds something else up. Is that correct? So we know we begin with iman, faith, you know, which leads us to the declaration of faith, you know, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, or ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I bear witness that there's no God but Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is not God. We don't say that part, but it's implied. Muhammad is the messenger of God. And that leads you to the Salat. Now, I really didn't mean to approach this way, but, you know, that's how I'm being inspired to explain it, you know. And the Imam, he explained it so well. He said, do you find the people praying that don't believe in a God? So one is predicated upon the other, you see? And it follows the logic of the mind, the symmetry of the mind and of the senses, the five daily prayers, the five senses, the five pillars. Hmm? Yeah. And so you will find in the Quran the mention, salat and zakat together. You find the mention together. And then and he explained to us that the word zakat, the word deen, it means debt. Debt. Deen is a debt that we owe to Allah. Hmm? The word deen. Maliki yawm ad-deen. And so often we use that word in our expressions, in our religious expressions. But, and that leads to the month of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, fasting in that month, for those who can do it, you know, not whenever we want to. We can do voluntary fasts when we want to. But it leads to, it's telling you, after the zakat, after the giving, when to withhold. How to give, how to withhold. How to withhold what? The feeding of yourself. Huh? The indulging in the things that Allah has made halal. How to regulate those things. How to give and how to halt. How to begin again. How to give and how to stop. Indulging in sex with your wives and husbands. Saum, huh? Or siyam. And the last pillar is the Hajj. The Hajj. The pilgrimage to the sacred house once in your lifetime, if you can afford it. So it has to be done in that order. And it's done in that order because that's how Prophet Muhammad gave it as well, right? When Prophet Muhammad was with the companions and they were sitting, they were together, a man dressed all in white. They all saw a man dressed in white sit down next to him. And they were so close that their knees were touching. You know, when you're sitting close to somebody in close quarters. And he began to question Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, what is Islam? And he said what it was. He said it is to witness that there's no God but Allah. And the Imam told us at that time, he didn't add, and Muhammad is his messenger. He did not. Not at that time. He said, it is to witness that there's no God but Allah. And then he began to run down the other pillars in that order that I just gave you. It cannot be moved around. They're not interchangeable. Would you find a person making Hajj that hasn't even had a declaration of faith? Or a person making Hajj that doesn't know how to pray? It's so beautiful when you understand. So these things are not taken out of context. Another brother I was talking to, he said that to me on the phone. Oh, we got away from what we were doing. Well, really what he was saying was that he needed some more help. That's what I got from it. He needed some more help, which I offered to help him with it. And how it came about was that during the month of Ramadan, I had been giving it some thought myself. I was looking around. I saw different people, members of the community, that I was convinced that they didn't know how to make their prayer. And I said, you know, this is something that we need to give some attention to. This is very important. We need to give some attention. And I know that those people are not able to make their salat the way they should, if at all, other than just following us in a group, in a congregation. And I was getting ready for Yuma on Friday. That Friday, it was the first Friday. I believe it was the first Friday of the month of Ramadan. And I don't usually answer the phone before Juma. I try not to because I don't want to be distracted from what I'm doing. My thinking is in a certain vein. I might be putting some finishing touches on my kutbah or whatever. But this sister who I know and knew her husband who passed away, may Allah forgive me, sins, may him depart of that, was a friend of mine for many years. And I said, well, she wasn't in the habit of calling me like that. Let me see what's happening with her. And she was in the first, too. And she was one of the leaders of the MGT, you know. And she said, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, Brother Man, but I don't know how to make my prayer. And really, I took that as a sign from Allah. I said, well, you know, don't be embarrassed. This is something I was giving some thought to. Now you have really made up my mind that this is something that needs to be done for the community. And I'm taking a lot of time because I think this is important, but this really wasn't a thrust of my program, you know. But I think this is important. And that's how the class began. So we got the book, the two brothers who I asked to lead the class, got the book. I ordered the book from your man Vernon's wife, who still has it. And you can order it online. Excellent book. Excellent book. And, yeah, we've been going ever since. Ever since we've been doing that. Every Sunday at 11 a.m. we do it. You know, and I think it has helped. You know, what I didn't really much like was putting pressure on people as an individual saying, I need you to know this particular surah by such and such a date. And some of the people dropped off because of that, because they didn't want to be put on the spot or whatever. So I brought that to the brother's attention that, no, we can't do that. You know, Allah says, do as much of this as you can. And we have things that we need to do that we haven't done either, you know, that we've, you know, put off, procrastinated, you know. And so, you know, we don't have a deadline on us, although we do, whether we know it or not. We all have a deadline, right? That Allah says, and even the shaitan, I want to bring that in. He says, you know, Iblis said, oh, my Lord, give me then respite till the day the dead are raised. That's one interpretation of it. Some says the day appointed. Allah said, respite is granted you till the day of the time appointed. Now, you know, the Imam taught us that don't be so physical in our understanding. The day that the dead are raised, we all look at being raised from the physical death, when the real death is spiritual death. And that time of appointment is near, is nigh, is now, the time of appointment. They made a second Wall Street that says money never sleeps. The first one was 20 years ago or more. We want to get into that. We have to before you invest, investigate. Our Imam Adam that teaches Money Sense, such a great program. Before you invest, investigate. You don't know crypto. You don't know crypto. So we have to be very reluctant, very careful to discuss subjects that we don't know about. I haven't lost a dime. I lost money on some of the later purchases, but overall, I'm ahead of the game. You listening to New Day Father Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and we will have some important announcements for you, so don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dr. Baiza Muhammad, host producer of Healing and Harmony for Humankind, where you give positive solutions a voice, right here on AM360 every Tuesday morning, 8:30 a.m. until 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I support AM360 and CWSC because of their support for our group intellect, from the Model Communities National Resource Directory and Speakers Bureau to American Muslim 360 Broadcasting and more. Join me.
And we're back. Alhamdulillah. So I'm just trying to find, I'm trying to find a video, short video, that I want to play for us. You know, most of us, I attended last week. I try not to do too many. I was saying now, I try to guard my time on Sunday, on Friday before Juma. Well, same thing after Juma. I'm usually a little busy after Juma. Different people want to speak to me about certain things, and I'll take some time to do that. But I try to get a little rest, you know. I might have a couple of business things that I have to take care of, but I try to get back home as early as possible. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not. But, you know, last week I attended a function by a brother, a good brother that's been in the community a long time, who's a member of the African-American Men of Westchester, African-American Men of Westchester. And they were honoring his son. He's a brother. I don't know if he's listening. He's been out my insurance man for about 25 or 30 years, provided insurance for us, and he's been in the financial sector for quite some time, you know, in that capacity, as well as other investments that he has recommended to me. I didn't do badly. I did pretty well. I thought I did pretty, especially, you know, when that economic downturn, which is a euphemistic word, that hit in the crash, really was a crash in 2008. And because of some of the investments, well, one investment in particular that I was able to make, it helped me to get through that, you know what I mean? Because it had made some money that I was able to access, you know? I was able to access that. But his organization, he's a member of that organization of African American Men of Westchester, they honored his son, Rashad. And Rashad is a member of a group, a founding member of this group called Earn Your Leisure, that you might have seen. Very, very popular financial literacy group. And they're very popular. In fact, last Sunday, they had a program in Madison Square Garden. Now, not the big garden, but I forget what they call us. They have a small arena. I don't mean a big arena where the Knicks play, the New York Knicks. But, hey, Madison Square Garden, that's a big deal. So they had something called a Visionary Awards Gala. And I didn't really feel like going, you know, but I had told his father that I was going to go. And I'm really glad that I went. Because he deserves to be honored, you know, this young brother, one of the founders, his two other brothers. His father explained to me that they met in high school. And I didn't realize, I said, man, I didn't know your son was that tall. He said, yeah. I said, I didn't remember him being that tall. He said, yeah, well, they all met, all three of them met. They were on the basketball team. They've been friends ever since, and they got into this financial literacy group. They began this financial literacy group that really blew up. I saw them on the Breakfast Club and, some other places. They've been all over. They've been all over the Internet, TikTok, and you name it, Instagram. But they had a big thing down in Atlanta when I was down there last year. Well, they had this year, too, called Invest Fest. And they had Steve Harvey. They had Tyler Perry as guests, et cetera, you know. And so they're a big deal. They got to be a big deal. They built themselves. They were talking about how they built themselves up. And one of the brothers, one of his partners said, you know, we didn't see no money for 18 months. It took us 18 months before we started making money. Well, I'm pretty sure they're making money now. I'm pretty sure they're making money. I tried not to get into that game of what they call pocket watching, watching another man's pocket. But I'm pretty sure they're seeing some money now. But they work hard. It took some time. But the point that I'm trying to make is we fear what we don't know. We don't trust what we don't know. You don't know crypto because you don't know regular money. You do not. You think that you do what's safe. What's safe? Put your money in the bank. Well, you're losing money in the bank. You're losing money in the bank, okay? That's not the safest place for your money. Where do the bank owners put their money? You think they put it in a bank? They do not. They put their money in insurance. Do you know that the bank pays you? I'm trying to find this video. The bank pays you less. The bank pays you less than 1%. Less than 1%. Okay, and with inflation, and if you try to borrow some money, now I know you know, you try to borrow some money, you know what's going to happen, right? You know what's going to happen when they loan you money. When they loan you money, you know you're going to run into what? Reba. So there's many things, you know, the longest surah in the Quran is what? Baqarah. And the longest ayat in the longest surah is 282. What is it on? It's on contracts, business and contracts, how to do business and contracts. You see? There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that because so many people mess themselves up in business. Not having a contract. Now, Allah says, don't disdain to write it down. Don't disdain to write it down. Because many people, and myself included, and I think I have a pretty good memory. Well, it depends, right? It depends on what it is. Some people, you don't remember that? And I say, wow, no, I didn't remember that. Oh, I can't believe you couldn't remember that. So sometimes my wife will tell me stuff, and my wife won't say that. She won't, if she came in here now, she would say, no, you have a good memory on some things. Well, that's true. But I like to believe, notice what I said, I qualified it. I like to believe that I have a good memory when it comes to business. I like to believe that. But look, we're all human. We get mixed up sometimes. Huh? Yeah, we get mixed up sometimes. And we forget. As a matter of fact, brother, I'm trying to find this video for us now, but I'll find it. But inshallah, but you know, yeah, we all have to learn. They keep these things very obscure, okay? They keep them very obscure. So what I'm saying to you is your trust factor that you have for the bank is misplaced. They're not to be trusted. They're not to be trusted. And do you know that other, you know, I've heard people speak about crypto. Oh, the only people that want to use crypto is people that are trying to launder money and sell drugs. Well, as we all know, before crypto came, there was no such thing as laundering money or drug selling. Of course, I'm being sarcastic, right? No drugs were being sold without crypto. No money was being laundered without crypto. That's absurd, and we all know that. So we're afraid of things that we don't know, and if you get into something before you, it's like, would you get into well, Allah has blessed us because we don't gamble. But I've heard people talking about gambling that don't know anything about gambling. They're just running their mouth. And the first thing that my father taught me about gambling is, if you can't cheat, you can't play. Oh, your father was telling you to be a cheater. My father was telling me that there are cheaters. And if you don't recognize cheating when it's going on, you're not in any position to participate in that activity because you won't know when you're getting robbed. We got that? So it's the same thing. Whether it's the stock market, have you heard the stock market being referred to as a big casino? Huh? There's shorting stocks. Yes, and commodities market. There's games in the commodities market. Some of my detractors, I know they listen. They went to prison for corruption and cheating in the commodities market. They were selling one commodity for another, and it was a man-made commodity. My memory is good on that. They say my memory is not good. I bet I remember that. Oh, yeah. And they went to prison. And do they want to talk about that? No, they don't want to talk about that. Yeah, I know they're listening. Yeah, I haven't forgot about that at all. Okay? So what I'm saying is you have to be careful. Let the buyer beware. Let the buyer beware. You have to beware when you're doing something. Huh? And people will find ways to cheat you. They will hoard. There's hoarding. You should buy gold. Buy gold and silver. And we know that expression that your grandmother taught you, all that glitters is not gold. All that glitters is not gold. And my wife was buying some earrings for a little girl that we fond of, a friend of the family's daughter, and she's young. I think she bought her some gold earrings or whatever, and they didn't fit. And she said, "Oh, I wanted diamonds," and they were laughing. You know, they were laughing about that. You know, what did she know about diamonds? And my wife was telling me that she was telling them in the jewelry store, and they laughed. They said, "Well, get her these." And she said, they said, these aren't diamonds. And they said, she won't know the difference. They have some, look, they make some diamonds now that even experienced jewelers can't tell. You know, they put that eye up. that I used to have one of those. I don't know where I got it from. I don't know what I've done with it. But, well, you know, it magnifies it and you can really look at it. Very hard for even experienced people to know. And they used to have, during the gold rush, they would manufacture gold, you know, make fake gold, or the fool's gold, as they call it. So don't dismiss the crypto market, because the crypto market is, oh, I was talking about Wall Street. And good movie. And those people who run Wall Street and run the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, you trust them? You do? Huh? I'm still trying to find it. It's a short video. But anyway, yes. So we know that there's been that big accounting firms, and my brother, Imam Adam, he will verify this. The biggest accounting firms went under a few years ago for corruption and lying. Huh? So, look, let those who trust place their trust on Allah. That's it. They ain't nobody. They holding people up there that are supposed to be so trustworthy. Oh, they don't have. I just listened to them. They were talking about the loss of FTX, the young guy who made billions of dollars. He didn't cash out. He could have cashed out. But he even said he didn't put certain things in place, that he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed to say, wow, I didn't put those things in place, certain standard things in place that are done by established corporations. So he knew how to make money in crypto, but he really wasn't. And he said, I was the CEO, and I didn't have other people, you know, that were putting safeguards and things in place, right? So, you know, you can do that with crypto. You can do that with stocks. You can have put something in place that as soon as you hit a certain mark, it will sell to limit your exposure. That's one of the words they use, to limit your exposure. You know, and I thought that they sent me this video again, and I was pretty sure that I had sent it out to people that I send things to. I'm trying to find it now, but forgive me if I'm seeming distracted, but it's a very short and very important video on money, where they have an individual from the bank, you know, on the witness stand, you know. But we're gonna take another break, pause for the cause, and remember, next week we will be inshallah, we'll be in Washington D.C. for a time to be grateful. The fundraiser for the Muslim Journal, very important paper. Please try to participate in some way if you can. Hopefully you already have your tickets and things of that nature. People are calling me for tickets to the banquet because I believe it's sold out. I don't know. We might have one or two left. But don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Peace be with you and welcome into Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Pitzer as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you, and have a pleasant day.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, and we are back. So I'm still trying to find this video, and inshallah we'll find it. But remember, I don't care, you know, a lot of people, you know, they say to buy the rumor and sell the news. What the Imam Adam was saying, to buy low and sell high. Well, the thing is, how do you know what's high? You know, that's what it means. And one of the things that I'm needing help with investments is that, you know, when to sell. So, you know, we came together as a group, you know, the best time to sell. We came together as a group. You can put that safeguard in place, too, that when you make a certain amount of money, it'll automatically sell. When you lose a certain amount of money, it'll automatically sell. You can put that in place with your investments. But, you know, we came together. I told you that we came together, our Bastion, a few years ago. And we started our own credit union, you know, our own little credit union. We had saved up about $10,000. That doesn't sound like a lot of money. But I remember one of my mentors, a brother who we're going to honor. I think he's turning 83 years old. I think he's turning 83 years old. But one of my mentors, he told me, about investments, investing, and he said, you know, before you invest, investigate. You know, before you invest, investigate. You know, that you have to know what it is that you're getting involved in. You have to learn as much as you can about that field. But no one knows everything because they're always coming up. They're always coming up with new schemes, you know. My wife was telling me that they have something now where they can actually simulate your voice. They can record something that says, sell all my investments in their voice, and then come back and simulate your voice where it sounds like you're saying, sell all the investments. And they can do things with all types of mischievous things. They can have you saying all kind of stuff, that you're buying or selling drugs, or you're involved. I mean, whatever. Use your imagination. Huh? And use that to discredit you as a political candidate or whatever the case may be. You know, we know that they can superimpose your likeness. Huh? They can superimpose your likeness, or you put someone else's head on your body, or put your face on someone else's body, etc. I mean, this technology thing is something else, you know. We know that they can hack into accounts, etc., etc. Now, I don't know why I can't find this doggone video. I have so many videos on here. But, one thing I wanted to say to you is that, you know, what I learned is why I stopped talking about crypto on the air, as well as I stopped talking about the vaccine and other things, is that are controversial. You have to let people make up their own minds with it. And that even goes down to my own family. I may have shared with you my own family members when I was reluctant to take the vaccine. First of all, it's not a vaccine. Let's be clear about that. It is technically not a vaccine. That's not even open for conversation. It's in the sense of the word vaccine that we came to know it, it's not that, okay? As we all came up, the baby boomers that came up in the 50s that came up with getting those, you know, MMR shots, it is not that. And we know that they gave out a lot of misinformation, okay? And but I realized that the reason, my own family members were telling me that I'm being selfish and that I was jeopardizing the life of my cousin, his father, who was close to 90 at the time. I'm jeopardizing his life. Well, now we know that an unvaccinated person, how is that person a threat to you? We thought if the person was unvaccinated, how is an unvaccinated, an uninfected person a threat to you? But we thought it. And a lot of that came from fear. We didn't know any better. And I was talking to a friend of mine, a business friend of mine for many years, and he got a little upset and we were talking about the Mario Cuomo. He doesn't live in New York. He lives in Jersey. We were talking about Mario Cuomo and the former governor and things that he did when people were looking at him like he was a savior. He was the second coming of Christ. They wanted him to be president and everything else. And come to find out, they had to wind up, he had to wind up stepping down. And he was pushing people into the nursing homes where they were, where those older people were dying. And recognize, now we know that America, since he said to me, one thing he said to me that a lot of y'all think too, he said, I believe in science. Well, you know, America is supposed to, we're the richest country in the world. We're supposed to be the most, advanced, industrial nation, technologically, et cetera. We have more deaths than anybody. That's not open for discussion. They're saying that themselves. So but what I realize is that you have to, we came to find out that getting the vaccination doesn't stop you from contracting it again or spreading it to other people. It does not, okay? So there's people that say, oh, yes, but it mitigates the effects and you won't die or you won't be hospitalized, et cetera, et cetera. But what I found out about that as well as other discussions is that, you know, you have to let people make their own choices. And I should have known that, right? I should have known that from religion. There's no compulsion in religion either, right? No compulsion. So there's no compulsion in making people think the way you want them to think, whether it's about crypto. And that's why everybody, if you go on those crypto, they say, this is not financial advice. This is merely for entertainment and educational purposes. That's a disclaimer. They do that in order to protect themselves. So if somebody comes in and says, you told me to mortgage my house and buy all crypto with it, and now I'm homeless. No, I told you that this was only for, and that's why I stopped talking. One of the brothers, a good friend of mine, well, I won't say his name, a good Muslim brother that I've known many, many decades, and he said, Brother Imam, you don't talk about it. I said, no, I don't talk about it on the radio no more. You know, if you want to, you know, if you'd like to talk to me, and I won't give you advice, I'll just, you know, give you my opinion, you know, about certain things. But it's the same thing, whether it's the stock market or whatever, you think those things are so regulated. But what happened with Enron and all these other companies, huh? You forgot about the savings and loan debacle, huh? With President Bush, his brother was involved in. You forgot about that, and these guys don't go to jail, huh? You forget about the money laundering. You talk about money laundering. The biggest bank in the world was involved with money laundering. The biggest bank in the world, money laundering for who? Drug dealers, and they had to admit. Well, when we see a lot of cash coming in here during the Obama administration, when we see a lot of, and that's where we started getting too big to fail, and also too big to jail, They said the attorney general, he said Eric Holder, he said if we were to go after this bank, it would cause a ripple effect in the rest of the economy. Have you ever said that about the little guy that was behind bars that was locked up for tax evasion or whatever the case may be? Oh, it's going to have a ripple effect. It's going to hurt everybody. So we can't send you to jail. We can't send them to jail. We can't punish them and close that bank down. That's going to affect other people. I never heard that. So we got a few minutes. I don't see you. Okay, 504-400. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Abilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Alhamdulillah. To take the way the banking system is, or any other institution, bank institution is, to show the flaws in that, to me, it's not a good thing. To have a boost concerning crypto. Crypto is crypto, the bank is a bank. That can't make, you know, telling me the downfall in that institution, that can't give credibility to the crypto. And that's what, you know, That's my opinion about things as far as having people listen to the conversation.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah.
Well, wassalam. All right. Like I said, everybody has their opinion, and that's why we even regular business. I'm very reluctant to give people advice in business. Very reluctant. A, they don't take it. They don't listen any damn way. They don't listen. And B, I don't want them to make me responsible for their downfall, because they says success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan. Success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan, okay? Like I said, we think that you don't even know if we were to give you a test on standard banking. You wouldn't pass that test. So to make that comparison between what you know about standard banking, well, I know the money's going to be, you know they've been run on banks? Yeah, they've been run. Do you know that the biggest company in the world, even with insurance, you have to be careful. Oh, don't run out there and get it. It's not regular insurance, term insurance. You have insurance that's as an investment. But AIG was the biggest insurance company in the world. They had to get bailed out. And the banks are still doing the same things that they were doing when the crash came. Here's my brother, Brother Imam Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. I agree with you whereby you, there's certain subject matter that you have, you are reluctant to give your view on. I want to share a disclaimer that we have here on America Muslim 360 in lieu of that. Hold on, please. It's very short.
Yeah, please. The views expressed on AM 360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
Wonderful.
Okay, that's it, my brother. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
Alhamdulillah.
So, is that it? Okay, so alhamdulillah. So you have to have that disclaimer, right? Otherwise, people hold you responsible. Well, you told me to do this. Look, even I may need to do a disclaimer before I do a cookbook. I remember finishing doing the kutbah one time, and we went next door. We had a little restaurant there next door to the masjid. And the brother said, "Yes, brother, thank you for that. You told us to go home and do whatever your wife tells you to do." And I said, "When the hell did I say that?" That's what and my wife wouldn't agree to that, that I'm doing that. What do you mean go home and do whatever your wife tell you to do? Is that what I said? I mean, I guess, when I heard Imam Bakruddin, Qasim Bakruddin, my predecessor, he said, may Allah forgive me, sin and grant the pardon, he said, he gave a khutbah one time at Malcolm Shabazz. He said the brother came up to him and started saying, "You said this wrong. You did that wrong. You said this wrong." He said, "Man, I taught for an hour. Did I say anything right?" All you can tell me is what I said wrong. But a lot of times people hear what they hear what they want to hear. They hear exactly what they want to hear. But yes, we are. I'm not an expert. I've made many mistakes. A lot of things that taught me well in business, I learned from mistakes. And I would say, "Well, I won't do that again. You know, we've taken, you know, I took a chance with some brothers one time. I had a friend that owned, he had, at one point he had five different check cashing places, right? And some brothers came to me, and we're about to finish up. And they said, you know, brother, man, you know, we have a construction company, and, you know, we're just starting, and we're doing well, but we have a check, and you know, we're not able to cash the check. The check is for $17,000, and we need to pay the people and do some things. You know, could you get him, your friend, to cash the check for us? So, you know, I trusted them. They were brothers, you know. And I said, and he said, oh, I don't know these guys, Ramadan. I said, well, he said, well, you, I said, go ahead and cash the check. The check bounced. I was, as Imam Bakri used to say, I was hot as a biscuit. I was hot. You ever grab a hot biscuit coming out the oven? He said, I was hot as a biscuit. And I said, brother, what in the world? I put myself on the line for y'all. And you know what they told me? You gonna side with the disbeliever against the? I said, if y'all don't get down here and bring that $17,000 back, well, we have to go. Look, wherever we have to go, I'm coming there to meet you. Because they wanted to act like because he wasn't a Muslim, that they didn't have to. No, I don't do business like that. That's what they wanted to do, okay? But alhamdulillah, we were able to get it resolved. And it was, you know, it was, but because my reputation with him was good up until then, and even his mother called me. He was a grown man. His mother and father gave him the business. His mother called me and thanked me, you know. But we have to do business. If you want to be successful in business, you have to keep your word, and you have to say, you know, say what you mean and mean what you say. So we thank everybody for listening. You've been listening to New Day Father Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan. We hope to see you in Washington at the Muslim Journal Time to Be Grateful, those of you that can make it. And we pray that they have a very successful affair. It's a great opportunity for us to see each other, to come together. We need to do that more. You know, we're too splintered. We're too splintered as a group, you know. So we pray Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have a Jummah Mubarak, a blessed Jummah, and that you continue to stay healthy, you know, do those things that you think that you need to do, whether it's wear a mask or whatever, get your booster shot if that's what you want to do. You know, if that's what you think is best for you, you have to follow your best mind. And Allah is our protection. At the end of the day, we shouldn't be reckless. We have to be thoughtful. But let those who trust put their trust on God. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.